What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Corner Post. As always, I'm Sebastian Quinn, here joined by Daniel Rostevsky.
What's up?
And thank you, everyone, for joining us. We did have a week off. Of course, there was some Champions League action in the meantime, but we are going through match day 28 at the moment, which was capped off with a huge game between United and Chelsea. But before we get to that, as always, you can hit me up on Twitter. That's at Seb_Quinn. You get Dan on Instagram.
At Dan Rostevsky.
And big news, because we now finally have a Twitter account and an Instagram account for the Corner Post. So search for those on the social media platforms and you'll be able to keep in touch and send us any questions that you have for the show on there. So we will jump right into Manchester United 2, Chelsea 1. Lukaku finally scoring against a top six team this season. So pretty much, that's a pretty unwanted record for a player of his caliber.
What was it, £75 million or something like that? So you don't want to be sitting there saying he hasn't scored against the big teams. So
I think it's finally good that he's getting off the mark there.
Definitely got the monkey off his back, because you look at a player like Jamie Vardy, who scored against the top six teams. I mean, quite some time ago now, and he just really rises to the occasion. But Lukaku has been a bit on and off recently, so good to see him get on the score sheet. But he also provided the assist for the winner, with Jesse Lingard scoring a pretty nice header. You don't see him scoring too many headers, but that was in the 75th minute, rounded out the win for them. But it was a pretty strong shot from Willian in the 32nd minute that got Chelsea off the board, and they had a pretty strong start and then just wavered in the second half, which was ultimately disappointing, because, you know, for Conte to go there and, you know, get an away point, you know, was kind of, at least a point would have been good for Chelsea. But yeah, to end up losing is definitely disappointing. And you see the look on their faces at full time. You know, Conte was just expressionless. And
yeah, it's unlike them to go off and basically just peter out during the game like that.
No, exactly. I mean, we weren't expecting a huge game in terms of the back and forth between these two. United typically defensive, and Chelsea, you know, obviously a great attacking team. Yeah. So to at least see that there were some goals in this one is definitely...
It's positive.
Definitely, for a neutral perspective at least, you know, good to watch. So that on the table, it's now... I mean, if it wasn't congested before, it's even more so now up there.
Yeah, I mean, City up there, 72 points. Mm-hmm. 13 points back, United 59, Liverpool 57, and then Spurs 55. So,
yeah.
I mean, Chelsea as well underneath them, 53, so it's... Mm-hmm. It's a very tight race.
Yeah, Chelsea in fifth now, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, I think that's got to be the first time they're outside the top four for this season.
Yeah.
At the very least. But, I mean, concerning for Conte, I mean, given the performance.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he won the season recently and then... A coach of his caliber should not be sitting at fifth.
Yeah,
should be minimum second.
Does that put him under even more pressure? Because there were reports. I mean, it's been going on for the entire season now, but he's been clashing with the board. The board didn't like him. They're not performing, which is ludicrous because they're still such an incredible team. But you know, does this kind of game maybe not cost his job, but even more pressure on that?
I mean, a team as big as Chelsea should be up top.
Yeah,
top two, top three minimum. Mm-hmm. I mean, knowing Chelsea, that they'll just sack a coach for losing one game. So anything could happen there. Yeah. Anything could happen.
I feel like, you know, definitely, I mean, Chelsea, you know, they do have this history of just sacking coaches left, right and centre. But at the same time, like, you know, he won the league in his first season in charge.
Yeah.
You know, they have been doing fairly well this season. You know, they were second for the majority behind Man City. And, you know, no one's going to catch them. And I feel like the board should be looking at a season like this, like not just for Chelsea, but across multiple teams, and be like, listen, this season is an outlier because City have decimated everyone.
What was it like if they win the derby?
Yeah,
City have won it, which
that'll
is,
be yeah.
That's like what in three weeks almost. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not far. So
it's like, look, we can't win this. Let's just basically do the best we can.
Yeah,
regroup for next season.
Mm. And at this point, it's really damage control for them. So
yeah,
you know, just finish as high as you can on the table. They should make. I mean, it is close to the top table, but do they make Champions League still or finish in that top four? Like, you know, someone has to give out. But
I can see Spurs possibly dropping off.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, anything could happen.
Who knows?
It's so tight up there now. Yeah,
10 more games left in the season, so really could go either way. But Chelsea, they did quite well against Barcelona in the Champions League as well. That one-all draw.
Yeah.
But still, Willian hitting both posts from memory, then finally scoring. So he's had a pretty good run of form. And then Lionel Messi finally breaking his duck, having not scored against Chelsea. Definitely, you know, kind of, was that the expected result from you at Stamford Bridge?
I would have put Barca to win.
Yeah.
Probably 2-1, 3-1 maybe, because I'd say they're the best team in Europe at the moment.
Yeah.
They're just flying. So I think Chelsea did pretty well, but it's going to be so much harder going into Barca, Camp Nou to take him on.
Does that having a midweek performance and then having to back up on the weekend somewhat justify the loss at all?
You could put it down to that. I mean, United had Europa League, or they didn't play today.
Yeah, Sevilla, they had the nil or draw. David De Gea saved their butt.
I mean, well, there you go. Even United had the midweek game.
Yeah.
So, well, then again, obviously, the teams they versed. Yeah, so you could put that as an excuse, but then again, you don't want to be looking for excuses.
Yeah, you want to go out and perform each week. But, I mean, overall, Chelsea, I think they will end up finishing top four. But United, I mean, this has to be positive signs, because I feel like a game like this, historically at least, ends up being nil or draw. So they play for a point against the bigger teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as United fans, not me, but I mean, they would be happy at least, you know, not only winning, but scoring two goals against them.
Yeah. Against Mourinho's old team.
Yeah, they'll happily take it.
They'll be happy with that.
It was actually funny, because it was the first game that Lukaku scored in that involved Chelsea, because he never scored for them. He's never scored against them, naturally.
Oh, my God.
And it's just so funny, because the manager who released him at Chelsea is now the manager at United.
Yeah.
So just...
Yeah. Same as Mata as well. He wasn't getting played at Chelsea. Mm. It's like, all right, I'm going United.
Yeah.
Mourinho follows him there.
Can't escape him. It's just sadomasochism anyway. But we'll move on to another big game. Liverpool 4, West Ham 1. A fairly comprehensive performance from Liverpool in this way. And Emre Can scoring early on with a nice header. Mohamed Salah, as always, you know, he's bound to score with a pretty good finish. You know, another kind of, it's almost a typical Salah goal at this point. He's on the left side of the field, across the keeper, really does well. He's kind of, you know, almost copyrighted that shot.
Mate, he's just the Egyptian Messi.
It's just
he's a beast.
So, then Roberto Firmino capitalising on a defensive mistake just 6 minutes later with a no-look.
Love that.
How much confidence? Like, I mean, not
first,
even confidence.
First, but to control and nutmeg the keeper, take it on yourself, empty goal, no-look. Yeah. I love that. Like, it's like his second or third goal, not even looking for the shot. It's just too good.
He's just making it. I mean, I don't know. It's confidence. It's, you know, charisma.
He's cocky.
Ego.
He loves it.
Like, I don't know. For me, I mean... Thank God he scored it, because, you know, if he missed it, then...
Himself, this is going in, so I can just basically close my eyes and hit.
In his defense, it was an open net, and like, and then at that point, you're up 3-0 inside 60 minutes, then, I mean, I'd be pretty happy with that as well, but Mikel Antonio subbed on in the 58th minute, then scored in the 59th minute. He has a knack for scoring against Liverpool for some reason, but Liverpool also have a tendency to kind of, you know, stuff things up against West Ham, but that wasn't the case. Sadio Mane scoring in the 77th minute, as they dispatcher of West Ham to, as we spoke about earlier, push them even further up in the table. This one, I mean, Jurgen Klopp must be happy with his side. Salah scoring, which is his 23rd for the season, I want to say. And I mean, Liverpool right now just, I mean, borderline unstoppable.
I mean, his front three just score every game.
Yep.
Salah, Mane, Firmino. It's just like who's Coutinho now?
Yeah,
they're playing flawlessly. Front three, they're a bargain. I mean, I reckon it's everything's looking positive for them right now.
Yeah, not only that, but in the Champions League as well. 5-0 away win against Porto. I think from memory, they've scored 12 goals in their last two match days. Yeah, 7-0 against Spartak Moscow and then 5-0 against Porto.
Unbelievable.
It's just nuts. Like, their attack's firing on all cylinders.
Mm.
They now host Porto on March 7th, Australia time. So... I don't know, there's really no slowing down for them. And then, is there any concern, I mean, injury or, like, you know, what halts this kind of Liverpool train?
Yeah, one injury against for any of those front three could be danger.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put Ox on either side of the wing should Mane or Salah get injured.
Yeah.
Should Firmino get injured, that's when we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we have another number nine.
If he goes down, you're playing, Dom Solanke.
He's not ready.
Yeah, who I don't mind, but he's still very raw. Not, you know, obviously not as talented as Firmino.
Yeah.
There was an interesting quote from, I think it was last week, Klopp was saying, you know, Mane's, you know, on and off world class, Salah's on and off world class, but Firmino is constantly world class.
Yeah.
Which I think it was very interesting for him to pick out Firmino as a player to say, because you could very easily say that and replace any number of those front three.
Oh, hands down.
But why, you know, why does Klopp choose Firmino of all people to say that about?
I think he probably has more, he's more of the complete package when it comes to players.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see Salah and Mane having some flaws in their game, whereas Firmino's just all around.
Yeah.
He's a freak.
Yeah. I feel like also Firmino, if he has that confidence flowing through him, he plays even better. So for Klopp, I think he's a better man manager, as we've said in the past, but he will come out and say these things to get their players clicking and going and just raring to play.
That'll inspire Firmino now, hearing that, and that might just sort of like, not aggravate, but like G up Salah and Mane. Like, okay, if he's world class.
Yeah, you want to do this?
I'll show you world class is. I mean, 8-0. 8-0 against Porto.
It is very much a FIFA 18 manager mode tactic. Yeah. Yeah, select the player during the press conference. Prayers are unnerved.
Exactly.
So we'll have to do a playthrough on our soon-to-be-established YouTube channel. But yeah, so we'll leave that one there. Move on to another big game, and I didn't think I'd be saying this. Brighton Hove Albion 4, Swansea 1. A pretty comprehensive win for Brighton. Glenn Murray grabbing a double. Lewis Dunk, unfortunately, with another own goal in this game, which I believe is his third or fourth of the season. He had two against Manchester, the Manchester clubs. He's got another one somewhere. And then, yeah, this one against Swansea.
He just sounds like a clumsy player, Dunk.
You got to feel for him. I mean, as a centre-back, like, you have to feel for him. Just, you know, he's putting himself, he's trying to get blocks and everything. It's obviously unintentional.
It's the risk you pay, but, like, as a centre-back, you're at your own goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible to do that. So, you can't really complain.
Yeah. I mean,
unless it's mad intention, then different story.
Yeah, he should just get right out of there. But, I mean, a very solid game for Brighton. I mean, you don't expect them to come away 4-1 winners, let alone score four goals, because they have been struggling recently to find the back of the net.
I'm just happy that Matty Ryan's getting the points.
Yeah.
My man.
All right, easy. We'll move on to Huddersfield. Fellow Aussie Aaron Mooy not playing in this one, unfortunately. Still missing due to that knee laceration. But Huddersfield getting two early goals, scoring the first two goals, rather. Van La Parra getting in the 48th minute, and then Steve Meunier scoring in the 56th. Their new signing, Pritchard, who was a record for them, I think it was around the 12 to 15 million mark.
That sounds about right.
From memory. Has been playing fairly well for them. You know, a few assists so far, getting, you know, grabbed a goal as well. Could have scored himself in this one too, but he actually had a shot that was going on target, but one of the Huddersfield wingers actually ran into the path of the ball, hit the back of his head and fell down. So a little bit unfortunate for him not to get on the score sheet. But and then it was Dawson scoring a consolation goal in the 64th minute for West Brom. But Huddersfield, an away win this time for them. No Mooy, but, you know, he should be around the corner, given that it was just a laceration.
Yeah, yeah. Within a week or two, he'll be back.
On their part. And, I mean, they should be, you know, this gives them another step away from relegation. They're not too far off the relegation zone now.
I mean, being a fresh team in the EPL, getting an away win is vital.
Yeah.
Because coming into the EPL, you think to yourself, all right, man, we got to survive now. So any away win is crucial for them.
Yeah, and now West Brom as well. I mean, you know, obviously they had such a shocking run to start the season. But, I mean, there's got to be 10 games left. A bit concerning for them sitting where they are.
I'd say West Brom goes down.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, them. We'll see how Swansea fares. It could be, honestly, it could be anyone in the bottom 10 teams at this point. So
it's still so close there. Like 10 points between last and 13th. I mean, do or die for them.
Yeah.
I'd say West Brom's gone.
Yeah.
Stoke, it's debatable. And then the third team could be any one of those ones.
Yeah. Well, speaking of two teams that could be in the relegation battle, maybe not so much Bournemouth, but 2-2 Bournemouth and Newcastle United. Two early goals from Dwight Gale in the first half. Sorry, 17th and 46th minute. Putting out a 2-0 early lead before Bournemouth coming back. Smith in the 80th and then Gosling in the 89th to secure a draw at home. I mean, how disappointing does this have to be for Rafa Benitez, you know, to go 2-0 up?
Having the lead majority of the game and at an away side as well.
Yeah.
You'd be livid with your teams. Like, how couldn't you hold on to this? But you got to give it to Bournemouth, though.
Yeah.
Coming back with, like, that last-minute goal.
Yeah.
Making it a draw.
I mean, two goals in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You definitely got to hand it to them. But, I mean, just, you know, Newcastle, what do they have to do to really kind of pull their head in? Because, you know, up 2-0, sure, you're away from home, but you really, there's no excuse. You know, there's no FA Cup. There's no Champions League. Like, at this point, you've still got a quality side.
Yeah.
You know, there's no shortage of stars.
It's probably more so them not really having a lead like that 2-0 ever or rarely. Complacency.
Yeah, and
they're
just
like 2-0. Oh, are you kidding me? And like, they wouldn't expect that against any team, so then they just fell asleep at the wheel and just cop two late goals.
Just unbelievable from them. But I mean, just ultimately just disappointing from both sides. We'll move on to Burnley 1 Southampton 1. A goal from Ashley Barnes in the 67th minute, and this one was, I don't know how to describe it. It was a very, very slow game to watch, but Ashley Barnes grabbing the opener in the 67th minute before Manolo Gabbiadini scoring in the 90th minute. Some controversy with this one, as the referee's view was obstructed late on as Burnley went back down the other end. This game, as boring as it was, you know, with some controversy at the end, there was a pretty fantastic save from Nick Pope in this one, going top corner, got a hand to it. I mean, this guy, considering his age as well, and then the fact that he's, you know, Tom Heaton, you know, has been displaced because of, you know, the shoulder dislocation. But at the same time, you've got a 25-year-old Nick Pope pushing for what I'm going to end up hoping is more than likely a starting spot in the England side.
Start a hashtag. Hope for Pope.
Hope for Pope. I mean, like, who do you start at this point? Like, you know, Jack Butland, which we'll get to, having an absolute just shocker in their game. And then he's been playing very, very well, given the chance. You know, Tom Heaton, it's funny because Heaton was, you know, the incumbent for them in that side. But, you know, Pope pulling up some saves, very comfortable in front of goal, still 25, so got some youth. But, you know, is there, what's the, if we had to put a scale of 1 to 10, you know, what's the likelihood of him, you know, joining the England side with Gareth Southgate?
I mean, if he, again, who was that?
Butland, Joe Hart.
Butland, Heaton. Hart, Heaton. Heaton's Burnley keeper as well.
Yeah,
if he's still out for a while, which I'm guessing he would be, how recent was the injury?
It was the start of the season, but given the form,
I mean, yeah,
wouldn't you choose Pope?
If you're maintaining off form, then I think Pope would probably keep his Burnley spot. And then if it keeps the form going, impresses the England scouts, I'd say bring him on as third keeper, second keeper.
Yeah, no, well, why not? But
hope for Pope.
Hope for Pope. But speaking of the Jack Butland, 1-1 Stoke with Leicester. It was Shaqiri grabbing goal in the 43rd minute just before half time. Before Butland, I mean, this is just, I don't know how to put it really. Like, you can't do this as a Premier League goalkeeper.
Just a blunder.
So they crossed it in, and to speak it through, people who haven't seen it, just YouTube and you'll be able to find it there. But they crossed it into him. It's coming directly at him. He's at the front post, and I'm not sure what he's trying to do, but it hits him, hits his hands, and he almost palms it into his own goal. So
how
do you explain this, Dan?
Like, it's just a brain snap. Yeah. Not even that. It's just, he must have just had a seizure at the spot. Goal.
Oh, whoops.
I've woken up and it's a goal. Like, man, how do you screw up like that?
Yeah. It's just, it's funny because the way he goes to catch it is with his hands out to it instead of letting it land in him to catch it.
Oh, yeah. I would have thought basically into the chest, save it like that, unless he would have thought people are coming in the path, hands out and catch it that way, but still, it's a cross coming in full power.
I really don't know how to explain this one, because Stoke now, you know, if they did win this one and hold on to it, you know, instead of 1 point, go up to 28 points, which would put them 16th and just outside the relegation zone instead of 19th, which is, you know, so close to the bottom. But I don't know, we did discuss, you know, whether there is any hope for them, but Leicester having a somewhat of a mid-season revival, you know, still up to 8th. They're only 1 point behind Burnley at this point. You know, still 9 points behind Arsenal, but given the form, I mean, really, you know, 3 games out of the last 10, I mean, who knows what's going to happen to Arsenal. They are playing Man City this Friday, which we should say is still part of match day 8, but we are leaving it for now.
Yeah.
As just part of, you know, it's just, if we record on Friday, we're just not going to have enough time to upload
everything
prior to match day 29.
We'll cover it in the next one, I guess. Yeah,
exactly. But speaking of Arsenal, Man City, the EFL Cup final, or Carabao Cup final, 3-0 Manchester City, really, like, just running away with it in this one.
Dismantling Arsenal, I'd say.
It was just ultimately disappointing. The first goal, for those who didn't see, Aguero getting kind of nudging Mustafi in the back. It was a very, very soft, incredibly soft foul, which wasn't called in the end, but slight nudge in the back. Mustafi just like, what the hell? And Aguero just ran straight through and chipped Ospina. So, I mean, Dan, is that a foul for you? I mean, it's a very, very light touch, but
I mean, if it's in the back, then yeah, straight up foul.
Yeah.
But I mean, Mustafi as a centre back, he's tall, he's strong.
Yeah.
As a centre back, you don't really want to give that opportunity of, oh, ref, it's a foul. Mm. Don't get knocked off the ball.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I mean, Mustafi, who's 82 kilos and 184 centimetres, against Aguero, who's probably, you know, definitely one of the smallest players in the, you know, 173 centimetres, 70 kilos. Like, I mean, I almost think it's embarrassing, to be honest, for him to flop the way he did like that. So, I mean, just ridiculous. But, I mean, before that goal, it was funny because Arsenal had a fantastic chance through Aubameyang. You know, bounced around, fell to Ozil, who put it across the goal before Claudio Bravo getting... I mean, it was kind of an instinct save from him, really. He didn't know anything about it, but he went to dive for the ball. And it ended up Aubameyang trying to put it across the net, excuse me.
Yeah.
Hit Bravo's legs instead of finding the back of the net. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, Aubameyang, that kind of... I mean, it kind of set the tone for the rest of the game.
And with him, you sort of got to like understand like everything he touched won't turn to gold.
Yeah,
he will have some misses in him.
Yeah,
just unfortunate that was one of those.
I think this game definitely highlighted the fact that the formation Arsenal play in this, you know, even if it's a 3-5-2 or, you know, 4-2-3-1, that playing a lone striker, him being so isolated, is it's not going to work.
If you have him there, you need at least one or two players close behind him for service.
No, they definitely, I mean, they have to be there. And they, in the formation that they're fielding up. So it's the 3-4-2-1, basically, with Wilshere and Ozil just behind him. And, I mean, Ozil, another big game.
Yeah.
Another somewhat disappearance in this one. And Wilshere really the only player playing with any kind of heart out there.
That's the thing. If you had like if you had five Wilsheres out there, I can be a different story for Arsenal, because he's the only one there that I see putting his body on the line, willing to die on the field for the team.
Yeah.
And I mean, with Aubameyang's case, he's not one of those strikers that'll get it deep in the half, take it on himself. He's a finisher. He requires one or two players that are of high calibre to help him out with his job.
Get some service. So, I don't know. But anyway, Kompany, who came back from injury, has been out for so long, on and off, scoring the 58th minute, a captain's goal. It was a tap-in, you know, one of the players did cross it in, and I think it was a shot, actually. It was kind of going bottom left. He was trying to aim it down there, but Kompany getting his foot on the end of it, wrong-footing Ospina, who went the wrong way. And I'm very happy to see a Kompany score. As an Arsenal fan, obviously disappointing, but... Yeah. You know, Kompany's been through so much as a centre back, and just
he's one of those weird injury prone centre backs. Where you look at him, you think, nah, no way, you're not injury prone.
Yeah,
it's just unfortunate he was out for so long.
Yeah, just ultimately disappointing for him. But you know, to get this goal really, not so much set things right for him, but just considering the fact he's been there his entire not entire career, but before the Arab money really kicked in and they started buying all these players. The fact that
it's good for his confidence, I'd say, more so than anything.
Absolutely.
Out for a while, just come get a goal. And you'll see him. This is perfect for City. Coming to the pointy end of the season, their defence is now even more solid than it was before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, him alongside Otamendi, a pretty good centre-back partnership.
Yeah.
He is 31, but City do have a fantastic defensive backline future. I mean, Laporte, Stones, of course, Otamendi, who's still young. Zinchenko, who was playing left back, while Mendy's been injured. But I mean, how big is Kompany going to be for the future of City, given his experience, leadership?
He'll have a coaching role, I'd say. But it's so strange that their current partnership can be easily replaced by an even better partnership within 5 years.
Which is just absurd, but...
It's crazy.
Just nuts. But Silva grabbing the final goal in the 65th minute. This game heaping more pressure under Arsene Wenger to leave at the end of this season. There were rumours of Thierry Henry coming back as a coach. And also...
He said it was his dream job.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. I reckon that will be the year Arsenal win.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I'm a little bit more sceptical than you. I hope to be as optimistic. but I'm a little bit more sceptical. Definitely, I feel like... Thierry Henry coming back could be the Brendan Rodgers going back to Liverpool, or Kenny Dalglish going back to Liverpool.
Could be.
Signing.
The thing is, Kenny Dalglish as a football analyst, garbage.
Yeah.
I've seen Henry basically break down the whole Barcelona tactics on, I can't remember what football show it was.
Yeah.
He pretty much summed it all up, and I was just like, wow, this guy, I could listen to him talk for hours on football. Him as a manager, perfect.
I know, he knows what he's talking about. See, this is where I'm torn. Like, he's been coaching the under-20s, doing all these sorts of things with youth sides.
Is it even with 20s?
He's been with one of the youth sides. I'm not sure if it was the 20s, but he's been in the ranks somewhere at Arsenal.
Yeah, honestly, get him that first job.
Yeah,
start a petition.
Yeah, it was either him or, funnily enough, Mikel Arteta, who's currently an assistant coach at Manchester City, who I don't know whether he would be as... My first choice would be Thierry Henry. Well, my first choice would be Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, I might pick Henry instead of Ancelotti.
Yeah, just for the youth.
I mean, for growth, player management, and I mean, I know Ancelotti's coached around other big teams.
Yeah.
Henry's played there, so he's got a feel for both players and coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I can listening to him talk about that Barcelona tactic and just knowing everything about that has just sold me.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, Henry, it's just, you question the experience just a little bit. It's like,
it's tough to put someone who's never coached a first grade team like that into the massive team like Arsenal. So Ancelotti is the smart money.
Yeah.
But if you want to take a gamble, put Thierry Henry.
Yeah, go for it. Oh, dear. But anyway, before we finish off the round, there was one more game. Crystal Palace 0, Spurs 1. Harry Kane scoring very, very late on in the 88th minute to secure another win for Spurs. That puts him on top of the pile for goals scored with 24 for the season. But this one, funnily enough, you have to give a shout out to Serge Aurier, who had an absolute shocker in this one. Two foul throws, and then also had a chance to, score the winner, which would have been the winner, before Harry Kane scored. Had the ball crossed to him, went to kick it and rolled his foot over the ball and just fell behind him. So
yeah, swing.
Just, I don't know. Aurier, had a good performance midweek in the Champions League. You don't know what to expect of him. I liked him when they signed him, but...
I always rated him as a right back. Quality, quick, strong, Great with the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. He's a bit clumsy.
No, just, yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say about it anymore. He was linked to Arsenal for the longest time as well.
That would have been good because I hate Bellerin.
Yeah. Bellerin, I think...
As a person, he's a great guy. Yeah. He's so funny. But as a footballer, you're just quick. You're not good at anything else.
The funniest thing with Bellerin is that he has such an English accent despite looking incredibly Spanish.
So weird,
it's the weirdest thing ever. So, you know, this is what happens when you have Spanish people growing up in England.
Also, he needs a haircut. Get a haircut. Yeah, please. Are you listening?
I just love the classic comb over, short back and sides.
Yeah, just
go back to that.
Like, tidy it up.
Why go for this De Gea look? But anyway, we'll go back and look at the Champions League from the last week. So we did miss some games. Juventus 2, Spurs 0, we did cover. Man City 4-0 over Basel, we did cover. We did predict a win for PSG in the Real Madrid and PSG game, but it was the other way around, unfortunately. So we are going back to Valentine's Day. Rabiot getting in the opener with a pretty well-worked PSG move in this one before Ronaldo scoring in the 45th minute, then Ronaldo again in the 83rd and Marcelo in the 86th. So I feel like this scoreline doesn't quite justify the game in this one, but the big concern... just to move on a little bit quicker, Neymar being stretched off in their most recent game in League One. So, yeah. I mean, how big is a loss? They do have plenty of depth, but how big is a loss is Neymar for them?
I mean, he's a goat. Seeing him go like that, the side will suffer, but... I mean, look, he's been involved in almost every one of their goals. Whether he's creating the build-up to the assist or scoring or creating the assist. So they will suffer, but I reckon they'll survive.
Yeah. Who fills in for them for him? Because they do have plenty of options. You got Di Maria, you got Draxler.
I try and fit in Di Maria on the right,
they do play, on the left. They play a classic 4-3-3.
True. Yeah, honestly, because they use Mbappe on the right or something
Mbappe
like that.
Mbappe too, yeah.
Honestly, there's so much depth. I'd look for Draxler. I like Draxler's skill more so than Di Maria's.
Draxler on the left wing, I think. I don't know. I think against Real Madrid, you could see that the pace of the team was definitely cutting them out. So it was definitely catching them out, excuse me. So, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Di Maria on the left wing. You know, he's not quite as quick as he was before. You know, definitely lacking since his United days. But 3-1 again, do we give them any hope of coming back?
I'd say...
I think the away goal is crucial.
Yeah. If Neymar is fit for that...
Yeah.
Then I'd say they have a chance. Because it's only two goals.
Yeah.
All you have to basically is get two goals and you've won.
Yeah.
So...
Two goals and not concede. That's the other big thing.
I mean, I'm up for it. I'm up for a PSG comeback. But then again, it's Madrid.
Yeah. If you could put a hard prediction on it, what would you say?
Ooh, I want the comeback, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Score...
Madrid away in France, I'd say it could be a 1-1.
Okay, 1-1. And so Madrid advance, but
1-1, 2-1 around there. A draw.
Fair enough. So we did speak about Chelsea 1-1 with Barcelona, but Bayern Munich, 5-0 over Besiktas. Just a comprehensive performance. They did lose. Besiktas did lose a player in the 16th minute. Muller scoring the 43rd, Coman in the 52nd, Muller again the 66th, then a Lewandowski double in the 79th and 88th minute. Just, I mean, expected from Bayern Munich, to put it simply.
I mean, walking into Besiktas, you think to yourself, mate, we're going to walk over these guys as Bayern as well. Clean victory for them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, comprehensive. I mean, all the superlatives you want to use, just, no other way to describe it. But an interesting game. We discussed Man United 0-0 with Sevilla, David De Gea, with some outrageous saves. I mean, we will touch on it briefly. Best keeper in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, sweet. We'll move on now. Shakhtar Donetsk, 2-1 over Roma. Under scoring in the 41st minute before Ferreira and Fred put in the 71st minute, who was heavily linked to Man City. But, I mean, what a goal down that free kick.
It's one of my favourite types of free kicks where it was close to the box, whip it over the wall, bar, hits the bar, bounces and goes in. It's just... No one's going to stop that. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, just lovely. I mean, they're just great to watch. And I mean, it's got to be such a good feeling as a player hitting those.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of not knowing whether it's gone in or not in terms of like getting across the line. But just you hit it with so much power to hit the underside of the bar, go down. It's just the
best,
such a nice
it's
feeling.
It's best just like pinging in a free kick because, okay, the world stops. Yep. Everyone's watching this one set piece. Pressure's on.
Yeah.
And smacking it in is just perfect.
Yeah, time just stands still. But we'll go through the next round of games. So the first lot on Wednesday, March 7th, Liverpool and Porto at Anfield. Prediction for this one?
It's a Liverpool at home. Yep. Oh, good luck, Porto. I reckon Liverpool will keep another clean sheet.
Yeah.
2-3
Easy. So we did discuss PSG, Real Madrid already. Thursday morning, Man City at home against Basel.
Good luck, Basel. Once again, I see Man City clean sheet, probably 3-4
I reckon they'll play their second team, just get an easy 2-0
win. It could be like 2-3
The big one, Spurs at home against Juventus, of course. They did get the late comeback, scoring the two goals against them over in Italy. So how do you think they rate at home? This is a huge one for them, whether they advance or not.
Yeah, honestly, this is bad for Juventus.
Mm.
Having a 2-0 draw at home is not what you want.
Yeah.
I could see Spurs winning this one.
Yeah.
Possibly another draw or coming our way with a victory.
Yeah, I reckon 1-1 Do you think... I mean, Spurs going into this matchup initially before that, I mean, how optimistic are they at, you know, Italy coming away with some kind of result?
Going into Juventus home is just like, you got no chance. So getting 2-2 is pretty good, but you can't count Juventus out.
Yeah.
I could just as easily see Juve coming into this one against Spurs in
2-0.
Wembley, cleaning him up.
Yeah, 2-0, 3-0. I mean, you can't
discount. They have such quality.
Hmm. You can't discount Higuain, Dybala, like just quality across the field.
If they're on fire, you're in trouble.
No, scary stuff. But Man United at home to Sevilla. I think the nil or draw away will be crucial, but...
I'd say United win this one.
Yeah, 2-0.
Comfortably.
Yeah, I'd say so too. I think they'll play their best team, go out there, get the win, advance on. And I mean, it will be a very interesting second next round. But Roma at home at the Olympico Stadium against Shakhtar Donetsk.
This one could go either way.
They did get the away goal, which is once again crucial.
I reckon it could go Roma 1-0.
Yeah.
Put that down.
Besiktas at home to Bayern Munich.
Bayern's going to play their third team.
Yep.
Probably still get away. They might get a 2-1 win.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And then the other big one, Barcelona.
The big one.
And Chelsea.
Oh, man. The Barca's got it. Barca's got it in the bag. Clean sheet.
Mm-hmm. Just go straight through. So, as always, we'd like to finish with the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, for this week, the good, going to Manchester United, which is a rare occasion for them, considering their style of football. But also, in particular, Romelu Lukaku, who doesn't, you know, as we said earlier, hasn't been performing quite as well against the big six teams. But definitely, you know, is this the start of something better, you know, good finish of the season for him?
Hopefully, yeah, because he's been... That's out of form's a fair way to put it. He hasn't really been doing much for United, goal-scoring-wise, assisting-wise.
Yeah.
So, I'd say... It's a good start for him, especially against a big team.
Yeah.
So it's hopefully he keeps it up for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
it'll be good for United.
Yeah. So far, 13 goals scored. The majority of those in the very early stages of the season. From memory, I think he got seven goals in 8 games.
Yeah,
he was like
top goal scorer for the first, 10 games, something like that. So.
And then, of course, you know, the concussion didn't help, and, you know, niggling injuries and all that. But, yeah, definitely the start of something special, hopefully, for him. And just kind of have to remind people that he's still only 24. Like, he's still young.
Yeah, everyone's judging him as if he's like a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, mate, he's got 6 years.
And
he's still, time.
Yeah, he's still a very, you know, obviously a very well-established striker. He's been in the Premier League forever. You know, he's with Chelsea for God knows how long. Did quite well at Everton, West Brom too, from memory.
Yeah.
So, he has obviously established himself as one of the better strikers, or probably one of the best strikers in the Premier League.
The fact that he's clumsy will hold him back to be as being one of the best ever.
Mm.
But then again, if you're scoring goals, it doesn't matter how clumsy you are.
Yeah, goal's a goal in the end. I mean... Just, you know, as long as he's in the back of the net, people are going to look at your goal tally at the end of the season. Yeah. You know, like, imagine how many goals, like, Alan Shearer and, like, Thierry Henry would have just bundled in, just tap-ins. You know, you see, like, the best of compilation, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know, they're going to get their fair share of tap-ins, just as, you know...
Exactly.
As, you know,
the ones that didn't make the highlight reel, so...
And that's just a part of being a striker anyway. So,
yeah,
United as a whole, though, you know, David De Gea with those great saves against Sevilla, you know, to get a win against another big club is definitely such a huge thing for United. You know, as we said earlier, you know, Mourinho goes into these games, you know, hoping to get a point, let alone a win. So
his tactic would be, all right, boys, defend this one because who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. Do you feel like Mourinho going into this one, kind of telling his players that since it is Chelsea, you know, there's a little bit more, you know, oomph in this. So it's like, oh, you know, there's a bit more spite.
He would have fired them up a lot.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, old club. You'd love to beat your old club. So he's definitely telling the boys whatever he needs to tell them just to fire him up.
Go out there, get the win.
Mm.
So the bad for this week has to go to Serge Aurier of Spurs. They're just... I mean, I don't know how... As a professional footballer, you... a lot of players commit foul throws regardless. Like, you know, it's a very common occurrence.
Playing, I've noticed it, like playing, when you're playing association, whatever level, they're so tight on the throw-ins.
Yeah.
Premier League, man, they're so lenient. It's like, you just get the ball in.
Yeah.
Obviously, with your feet on the ground, behind the head, whatever, but they're so lenient.
Mm.
So, just even crossing that line still, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I think what makes... So, they pulled him up once. It's just like, okay, you know, they're going to call a random foul throw here and there, you know, just to remind all the players, like, oh, you know, this rule still exists. To then do it twice, like, come on, you should know better than that.
Clumsy, he's just a clumsy guy.
So, yeah, and then, yeah, clumsy, much like Lukaku, that chance right at the end. Like, imagine if Harry Kane didn't score, like, the spotlight would be very, very much on him.
They'd be on him the whole week, like, mate, how'd you miss that?
So,
cost us the game.
I don't know, like, you know, there's sometimes, you know, under the pressure, you know, bright lights against, you know, I mean, Crystal Palace, you know, Selhurst Park is a formidable place to go.
The Eagles.
Yeah, God. Roy Hodgson's men, just the intimidation factor. But, like, just, I don't know, as a right back who just got signed and, you know, had a decent game against Rochdale in the cup last week, but you have to be doing better.
Yeah.
So 100%. There's no real other way to put it. But anyway, the ugly fall around is Arsenal against Manchester City, 3-0. The scoreline's somewhat expected, you know, as pessimistic as it sounds, you know, I wasn't going into this game thinking that Arsenal could be ultimately really, really competitive.
Yeah.
It's just the way that we lost, which makes it so damning.
They shouldn't have been basically dismantled the way they did.
Yeah.
At least put in a bit more fight. 3-0. The game could easily be 3-0 with a close matchup.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically didn't even show up.
Yeah, and just fell apart. And, you know, Aubameyang, you know, just unlucky with that opening goal. But it's, you know, as I said earlier, it's just so just frustrating to see him out there by himself, such a high quality player.
Yeah.
After buying him for so much.
Yeah, to
just be by himself.
Yeah, to watch him struggle up that.
Yeah.
Like, without service, he's basically going to be alone up the front. It's like, mate, the caliber of him needs players behind him.
Yeah.
Or else he's just going to be just... He's going to disappear.
Mm. And all it's been, it has been Arsenal lobbing the ball over the defence for Aubameyang to run over the top of.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not the way to... I mean, you can use it like that sometimes, but surely you can't do that going forward.
Like, that is the way to, like, abuse Aubameyang.
Mm.
But then again, teams will learn that. So you've got to, like, sort of throw that pass in here and there.
Yeah.
But learn to play with him as, like, a off the striker's shoulder.
Yeah.
Something. Just get him involved, because if he's alone up there, long ball, mate.
Yeah.
He doesn't want that.
Even if Arsenal go to, like, a 4-4-1-1 formation and just play Lacazette slightly behind him.
Mm.
So at least they've got, like, you know, there's a supporting player there. Lacazette can still get in front of goal and score.
Yeah.
Ozil and maybe Wilshere in the middle. I think it's about time Xhaka has been dropped. Like, his performances have just been
subpar. I was looking into how Borussia used him.
Yeah.
And try and work a formation that way, because he was a freak there.
Yeah. The thing was, like, he was getting in great positions from crosses too, which is kind of unexpected, because, I don't know, I've always seen him as a player that, you know, you get him in front of goal, he'll do the not so much dribbling, but if you put him in the right position, kind of like a Mohamed Salah, you know, kind of get him in the right spot and he'll finish it.
Yeah.
Which is what it's been from crosses. But Arsenal just...
What I don't like is I see Wenger as the type of guy who'd be like, all right, this is how we do it, learn to do it my way. Whereas with Aubameyang, he should be like, okay, I know how you work perfectly. We're going to adapt this for you.
Yeah.
That's what it needs to figure out.
No, exactly. And that's what it really should have been for Lacazette too.
Yeah.
Which obviously hasn't happened. And he has no confidence whatsoever right now.
I reckon he's just so depressed with himself, man. Like, this was a bad move.
Mm. And now out through injury too, which is just, you know, even, you know, the cream, you know, I was going to say cream on top of the sundae, but it's not a good thing. So, you know, ultimately 3-0, you know, at Wembley, now hosting Arsenal, hosting Man City. I mean,
Friday,
what happens in this game? Is this the Arsenal comeback game, or is this another demolition?
I can easily see Arsenal winning this one.
Yeah.
But then again, it's City, so, I mean, I could go for a draw here.
It's just the typical, like, Arsenal ultimate disappointment, and then somehow coming away with a, you know, like a random 2-0 win.
This happened, I think, sometime early in the round or early in the league. It happened where they lost.
Yeah, and then we beat Spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was that one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so...
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I'm hoping for the best, but as always, cautious.
Yeah.
So, that wraps up the pod for this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, you can subscribe on iTunes and leave us a rating, which will definitely help us with the rankings. We're also on Spotify and Castbox, so you can check us out on there. Don't forget to follow us and give us a listen. Finally, we are now on Twitter. Twitter and Instagram. So give us a follow on there. You can see some insights into the show. You can see Dan and I just rant to the camera, all sorts of stuff on Twitter with definitely a lot of match day facts and live blogging coming up. So make sure you give us a follow. That just about wraps up the show. You can follow me on Twitter. That's at @Seb_Quinn. You can get Dan on Instagram
@Dan Yostevsky.
And that's it. So if you're ever having a bad week, at least you're not Sergio Rio.